Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Come on.
Well, hello everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. Those not here. There's some things going on, so I got some requests to play a couple of old interviews, and I'm going to do that now. This one is an interview with Rusty, and I'm here, so if anybody wants to call in, I'll be back.
But what I'd like to do is I'd like you to take people back to where Attica 7 started, you know, realizing for the first time that you may never see daylight again. Yeah. And what your emotions were like when you were putting these songs down on paper and how you got that inspiration. Okay?
Yeah, visualize yourself in a cell, 6x8, 8x12, whatever it is. You've just been ripped out of society with the possibility of never having a chance to ever see your family again outside of a cell somewhere or a visiting area in a prison while you're either shackled behind glass or under guard. And you're not expecting any of this to happen. It just happens. And all of a sudden, everything you've held dear, everything that you love is out of your reach. You know, it changes the way you think about things. It changes the way you think about what you do. Instead of just going out randomly and doing what you feel like doing, it makes you think before you do those things with those large consequences. And when you're in a motorcycle club, you're going to pay twice the consequence, maybe three times, maybe four times, of what the average person is going to pay for any action that you may take, or even a reaction to being attacked yourself. You become not the victim, but the perpetrator, defending yourself because you're in a motorcycle club. So you have to think about all these things every day. It's like walking on the edge of a razor blade. And when you're doing your time, it's like walking on the edge of a razor blade the whole time you're in, because you don't want to lose your good time, but you can't be weak. So you have to do whatever you got to do to survive honorably while you're on the inside. Then when I got sentenced after being in over 21 months in MDCLA, they shipped me around a little bit, put me in the hole in a few other places waiting for my paperwork to come through. And then I got sent up to Oregon to a prison up there. And while I was up there, I was working out in the yard at least 5 days a week. And I rediscovered music totally by accident. I wasn't even into music. I knew how to play guitar. I'd played since I was 9. Took lessons from the time I was 9 till the time I was 15. Learned how to read, write music, finger picking, classical, the whole deal. But then I got out of it, got into motorcycles, and just picked up the guitar every once in a while, sometimes not for years. But it was in my head. The structure of music, the feeling, it was all there. So I don't know what happened, but after being up there for a few years, I was walking past this room where they did a lot of band rehearsals and the band program for inmates, and I just got inspired to start playing. And I joined a blues band, actually a blues rock band. And I said, you know, I'll come in, I'll play bass, guitar, I don't care. So they said, all right, come in and play bass. Well, I came in, the bass player hadn't gotten home yet that I was replacing, so I played guitar. And they said, no, we want to keep you on the guitar. So I said, all right, you mind if I write some songs? They said, yes. So I wrote one song the next week, another song the next week. And I was writing new music every week. Then they had a riot up there. And they sent me to Texas. And when I got to Texas, I took a whole portfolio of my music with me. And 3 days after I got out of the hole up there, I was playing a concert in front of all the inmates. It was like 1,800 people in that yard. We were playing all my music. But that's because that was a blues, like a heavy blues. That's what I started writing was blues originally. Kind of a blues rock, really heavily distorted. And then I gravitated towards down-tuned music while I was there. I did a lot of covers and my own music for quite a while. Played at all the holidays. Then I think I wrote 32 songs over there. I've got all of them still. Everything in the same paper I wrote it on. And I got so into it that I just decided when I get out, that's going to be my goal. I'm going to build a big band around good musicians, solid musicians, not a bar band, not a cover band, and it's just evolving into what I wanted it to be.
What would you say is your favorite Attica 7 song?
That's hard to say, but Devil's Daughter, Serial Killer, All or Nothing, Lockdown. I can keep going, man.
I got to agree with you with that. I mean, there's not a bad song on the CD. But can you take us back to where you were physically and mentally when you wrote one of these songs and what was going through your mind there?
When I wrote Lockdown, I was in a cell. And if you listen to the lyrics in Lockdown, it's an inmate, and it's definitely a serious prison song. Another one, No Redemption, wearing a number on your chest, having eyes in the back of your head, because that was the thing. You always had a number on, and you had to have eyes in the back of your head all the time.
Do you feel that had you not went to prison, that you would be where you're at today musically?
If I didn't go to prison, Attica 7 wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be playing music. It completely changed my life when I went in there. I redirected my thinking, and I'm glad. I love the music. I love what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing with my business, building these fights. I love the music even more. And the TV, the different things that I'm into now, I mean, I'm enjoying it every day. That's one thing I can say is... out of that experience, when I finally did get out, I appreciate every day. Even a bad day is a great day.
One of the things that I noticed that when I went out to cover the Uproar tour is after I saw your band, there was an it factor, a magic, a something that that people can relate to and forget about problems and stuff like that with your music. And I fully believe that people are going to jump into your genre from others and come together with your music. What do you feel is the reason for that?
I think one of the reasons that that our music is so universal, it's not just one little niche like metal or just rock or something else. It draws people from all different genres because there is a little blues influence in there. There's the rock influence, there's the metal influence, and every riff that's in there was written with feeling. I mean, when I write riffs for music, I don't just write riffs to write riffs. I write riffs that I feel, hooks that I feel, and it's got to really, like, make the hair stand up on the back of your neck kind of a thing. You know, it's like I know when I got those sweet spots in the groove, and that's what I incorporate into my choruses, into my verses, the breakdowns. I try to get the whole thing woven together so it's a feeling that you have. It's not just music. It's you feel the music, and that's important. You got to feel those hooks. That's what the hooks are, you know? And the same with the lyrics. When I write lyrics, 90% of the time, I write the lyrics after I've done all the riffs. And the choruses, everything, they fall together. But I start out with the first line. First line is always the hardest line when I write because it sets the pace for everything to follow. And then it just starts flowing like water. And it's very, a little bit of poetry. But it always tells a story almost every time. I don't want to just write ridiculous sentences, you know, just to fill the void with vocals. You know, I want it to tell a story. If you wrote it as poetry has a beginning and an end, usually.
My photography and my video is I try to look at things as a voyeur in letting people see the world through my camera. I see that same thing in your music. I mean, people are able to come into where you were and experience that, or, you know, relate things to their lives. What's your trick to letting people see that?
Well, like in the song Serial Killer, I'm not a killer. I've never killed anybody. But just as when you're an actor, you know, you act, you kill people in the movie, that doesn't make you a killer. But you have to be into that part. You have to become that person. And when I wrote that song, I really had to get deep into the character of this serial killer that was telling the story in his lyrics. And if you listen to the lyrics in that song, that's what it is. This is a guy that he's a killer. He doesn't necessarily want to be a killer. He can't help it. The demons take over, and he does what he does. It's not like he's looking for this to happen. It happens, and he tells it as the story comes out. When you're listening to the song, it's very evident that he's almost a victim of himself.
Wow. See, and I think that's the magic that all your songs have is you let people see it from the real thing. I mean, the real deal. The you know, what's in the mind of a serial killer. I mean, who knows that? And
yeah, I tell you, I've been in some places. I've been around some people who are that kind of people. And it emanates out of some of them. It just emanates so bad. I mean, you can feel it before they even say anything. And then there's others that they're like multiple personality type of people. They would be the nicest people in the world, but the other side of them is the homicidal side that flips. And it's like they're the most dangerous ones because they're a chameleon. And you can never trust people like that. But I've been in situations with a lot of people that are that type of people, both those kind of killers. And to try to put your mind in that place is, it takes a minute to get there. And if you want to write something that's believable with that feeling, you have to get your mind there. You have to be that person to do it.
That's a scary thing to attempt to get into a place like that and get out.
Yeah, I tell you, I remember specifically when I did that, and I remember the feeling I had, and it wasn't a good feeling, let me tell you. I wouldn't be proud to think like that on a daily basis, let me tell you.
Well, there's not too many writers that are going to be able to come up with the music that you have, and again, I think that's probably the biggest part of listening to your CD that's out right now, that it's just every song on there. I mean, I instantly bought the CD, and there's not a song on there I don't like.
We've got a really, really good team of players right now. Without even having a bunch of rehearsals under our belt, we can go out and play shows, and we did. And a lot of times you say players, you're going to have to play at least 7, 8, 9 rehearsals together before they're actually tight enough to go out in public. We didn't even need to do that in this case.
Yeah, I saw you guys on your second show, and I was hooked right then and there. Like I said, I think I even really got in trouble because I didn't photograph any other bands but you guys. But it pretty much paid off, and I think the other thing I liked about Attica 7 is that it was so cool to see you guys after you perform. You're at the merch booth, and you're there till the time you guys leave. I mean, you were there with a solid line of fans taking pictures and signing autographs. And I mean, you, to me, that's a true rock star. I mean, you were passionate. It's like you guys, if you could afford it, would go out there and play for free, you know, just to play that music. I mean, that's kind of what I got from that.
Yeah, if it was just about the money, we would have quit doing this a long time ago. I would have quit way before I hooked up with the lineup that we have now. Money has nothing to do with it. And the fans, they're the most important, and we really appreciate it. When we see these fans that come from 100 miles away or more to see the show, you know, see it in motels, and I mean, that's really true fans. And we're going to do everything we can to make that experience as good as we can for them. And over with. We're going to spend time with them. We're going to sign autographs, give them merch, you know, sell them merch, give them merch, everything. You know, we're going to make the experience as best we can for them.
It was funny watching you guys, you know, have fun with this, where you were throwing out the shot glasses and people were catching them as they're going by, and
yeah.
And you know, the parts that a lot of the fans don't get an opportunity to see, like well, you know, the rock star life where you're living in truck stops and things like that. But and you even had on your tour manager Al. Wasn't there a couple of episodes with him where some funny things happen there with the truck stop?
There's episodes of Al all the time. I find with him daily. He's great entertainment. The guy left him at least one truck stop. I actually sent him out to check the rear tire one time, and while he was out there, I locked the door, drove off, and left him at the truck stop. Hey, Al, come up here, will you? What's up, Rusty? I think that rear tire is low, man. Would you check that back, the tag axle?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, man, thanks.
Hey, shut that door when you get out, will you?
We're going to leave his ass again, man. I got to lock this door. Another time at another truck stop, he was outside doing whatever, fueling or something, and I took off, and he actually ran, jumped up on the mirror of the bumper and held onto the thing, so I couldn't get rid of that, so I had to stop and let him in. And I think at another venue, we were backing out, and I had him help back the bus out, and he was guiding me as soon as I got out and took off. And I had the door open still while I was driving. It sounded like Fred Flintstone trying to catch the bus with those heavy feet. I said, this guy can run, man. I had no clue he could run like that. I finally let him in that time, too. He deserved it. You know, he had to run quite a ways, you know. So.
You know, musically or through life in itself, if you could go back in time and change something, what would you change?
You know, it's funny because you say that, like, you know, I've thought about this many times. I would love to change the mistakes I made that sent me to prison. But then I think if I changed what sent me to prison last time, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I'd be going in a whole other direction. So I took a very bad experience that happened to me in 1999, and I turned it into a good thing. I took everything I had to work with, flipped it. And because of that, I'm so happy with everything I'm doing, I don't want to change that. And I would have to take that back, because there's really not much that I regret since I've been released. It's all been a pretty good trip.
Your bike building, I mean, this shop is, I mean, you're sitting in front of an $80,000 bike right there, and your bikes are amazing. Where's that going to go with Attica 7, you know, taking off?
You know, I look at what I have going on here like a triangle. It's like the devil's triangle. I've got Illusion, I've got the music, and I've got the TV. And it's all interlinked, and they all work for each other. So what one does pulls the other up, and they're all connected all the time. And I love it. It's a great cross-promotional type of a thing. Personal branding, bands, brand, bikes, brand, everything is doing well. So the better the music does, I think the better the bike business will do.
And the TV, Sons of Anarchy, that's a huge show. I mean, how did that happen?
You know, it's just that was luck. You know, Kurt Sutter's a great guy. I really like him. He started that show 5 years ago. And he's a smart guy. He went out and did his homework. He came by here. He's visited many Hell's Angels. He wanted to go to the top of the food chain and learn about clubs, and he did. And it's a drama. You know, it's not real, but it can't be real. If you're going to be entertaining, you have to be dramatic. You have to have a lot of that stuff going on. That's what people need to not lose focus of. You know, it's a fantasy, but it's great. You know, but he did a lot of work. fantasy. And look at it. It's a cult following. And the thing's crazy. It's over 5 million people regularly watching this. I'm honored to be part of it.
I've had the incredible fortune to travel with you guys on the road for what seems to be months, but it's only been a couple weeks.
Yeah, with you wear on us a lot. It seems like yours to me, you know what I mean?
I don't make too many mistakes, but the ones I do make are pretty big. So,
oh, like leaving me at a truck stop? Yeah, that was a good one. At 4 in the morning, I think it was.
Yeah, it was pretty cold,
oh,
too.
Man.
Yeah, I felt pretty
I'm
bad
glad
about
I
that.
Had my phone with me. That's all I could say. Or you guys would have been all the way to L.A. before you figured it
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we're going to put footage of that up there. So, but one of the things that I noticed is that everything that you do, whether you're driving a bus or orchestrating the band and your organizational skills and your leadership skills and when we go places, like last night, the Rainbow, after you played at the Key Club, I mean, they closed the place down, but you and your few select friends were allowed to stay. Something about you is just you know, people love. You know, what do you think that is?
I just try to treat everybody the way that I want to be treated. And I look at people, you know, and I give them the equal respect that they deserve. And there's so many people out there that feel entitled to take. You know what I mean? And I hate that. Nobody's entitled like that. You should treat everybody the way you want to be treated, because when somebody treats you bad with disrespect, you're not happy. And the people you treat bad feel the same way. It's no different. Nobody's entitled to treat anybody bad that doesn't deserve it, you know? So treat people the way they deserve to be treated, you know? And people will appreciate that. That's all. Just being fair, man. Consequences are the most important thing to think about. Everybody, the action that you do, whether it be good or bad, always has consequences. If you do negative action, there's negative consequences. The bigger the action, the bigger the consequence. And those consequences don't go away. The action takes 2 seconds. We're all capable of all types of violence, all types of good, all types of bad. Anybody, I mean, from the smallest person, it doesn't matter your size. It matters your will to do it. And there's a lot of people out there, and they say, I don't care, I don't give a fuck. Well, you know what? You're going to care when you get help. You're going to care when you pay those consequences. Because all this stuff out here, if you've never done time, been locked away in cells for a long time, you have no idea the consequence. And the people that have done it and say, oh, it ain't shit, well, I don't even fuck those guys. Their opinion doesn't matter anyway. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. What's it like being in a little cell, solitary?
You know, you get used to it, I'm sad to say, but you have to. If you don't get used to it, you're not going to survive. You're going to go nuts. People are adaptable. You can do just about anything, and over time, somebody's going to be adapting to whatever it is. You know, whether it be torture. In this day and age, there's not physical torture, but they've refined mental torture to a fine art. And if you've got the government pissed off at you, they have many ways to mentally break you down. And they'll try, you know. And if you're strong, you won't be broke down, but you're not going to have a good time while they're trying.
Absolutely. Attica 7, it's www.attica7.com. We got some great stuff coming up in the future, you think, here?
Yeah, I'm real excited about what's going on right now. I don't want to get into the details because it hasn't happened yet, and it's not good to talk about things that haven't happened yet with certainty, but we've got some good things coming up in 2013. I think you guys will be seeing us in many places.
Okay, so right now your fans can get CD on your website.
They can go to our website. They can go to iTunes, Amazon. I think FYE or FYI, one of those stores, Best Buy.
Best Buy?
Yeah.
All right. And merchandise, shirts, things like that?
We got shirts, CDs, hats, posters, and the stuff's growing. You know, it's kind of in the infancy right now.
Music videos on the coming up?
We do have one music video for Serial Killer that's done right now. I don't know if we're going to re-edit it. It's a good video, but I want to have a great video. So we'll see what happens there. We have plans for a series of videos coming up here within the next 2 to 3 months.
Fantastic. All right. Well, the fans are going to be in for a treat. I mean, like I said, I've been fortunate enough to travel with you guys, and you are my ultimate favorite. I've listened to a lot of bands, been with a lot of bands, but when people ask me what was your favorite tour, I'm going to have to say Attica 7.
Right on, man. You want me to pay you now?
Oh, check would be fine.
My
wallet's at home.
Sorry,
man. Actually, I was thinking about a new bike. I mean, that one behind you looks pretty
what?
Good. So, a new bike.
What?
Bike.
I can't hear what?
Motorcycle.
Huh? I can't hear it. I've been playing so much, I can't hear it.
That thing behind you lit up really
beautiful.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
My sunset messed up too, man. I gotta start getting
wrapped. Yeah. All right.
I'm Rusty Coons with the band Attica 7, and you've been watching Rock Biz Magazine. Yeah.
Great. We're out. That's a wrap. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Trouble everywhere.
Yeah, well, who dropped their pants?
Hey, if I did it, I have no problem admitting it. Tonight isn't the night, though. I'll tell you that.
Why is that?
Well, no, I mean, I have a house full of people. It's not like I can walk around the way I'd like to. Ugh.
Well, that's your story.
Well, yeah, but at least I got boxers on and a T-shirt. A very cool one, I got from a friend of mine. Way wicked.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it was me. I think it was you. You're
yeah.
always in trouble. Where's Bill? He's not here to help you.
He's sick.
Still?
He's sick. You jinxed
yeah,
him.
Yeah, and it's still my fault.
Yeah, you jinxed him.
No, I did not.
He did. Told him not to get the flu shot. Now he's got the flu.
Oh. You know what? Then
your
I'll
fault.
Send him a pair of my boxers and he can walk around in those and he'll feel a lot better.
I don't know if
I have one that'll fit him. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll tell him next year, and I'll lie to him, and yeah, go get the flu shot. You'll feel better.
Yeah.
They don't even inoculate you for the year that they need to.
Well, I got something going on Saturday, and this guy got run over. He was killed while he was helping fix the school bus.
My God.
Yeah, so they're going to do a fundraiser for him at San Diego Harley-Davidson on Saturday. And if anybody wants to volunteer, you can call Snowman, and I'll put his number up in the chat room.
All right.
Otherwise,
well, if I was closer, I would.
Yeah, otherwise, you could be at San Diego Harley between 11 and 2.
Unbelievable.
And then... The other one I got is, my friend Nick is having, he's had a couple of bouts with some cancer. Now he's got to go for this extreme chemo, and this is like the last shot to try and stop it. If not, inevitable is going to happen.
Is that the one that you guys took a ride with?
No. It's another guy.
Okay.
Kid I work with. He was a Marine, too. Yeah, well, you can have... just don't let the dogs hang their heads out the window, you know? Because only the dogs know why they hang their heads out of a cage. Frances, she'll come in the van, but she's gonna have two dogs for the day. So leave the windows up
yeah.
so the kids.
They need air. Help.
Dad. Everybody's sick.
Except for me. I'm sorry.
You know, so They said
I don't have the climate that you guys have. I have colder climate, so it keeps me healthy. And plus, yeah. I wipe all the hell out of my house.
Yeah. She says she's babysitting, but I'll help. All right, friend, if you want, I'll give you this phone number. I'll send it to you in a message. If you write it down, you can give Snowman a call.
Yeah, you know, I feel for Pete because they got a whole lot of snow. The snow this year here, it has been, like, so little. It either goes north of us or south of us.
Yeah.
I think the most we've had so far is, like, I don't know, maybe 4 inches. It's a joke.
Yeah. No, it's 3 feet of snow, man. That's a lot. I remember last time that happened in Chicago was like 1966.
No, it was 78. In 67, that was only 20-something inches of snow. It wasn't 3 feet. 78 was actually closer to having 3 feet.
Well, yeah, but I lived on Lermian Lake.
Right.
And it was 3 feet of snow where I live.
You were also closer to the lake.
Yeah, and the only reason I know it was more than 3 feet of snow is because I threw my brother off the roof. Good.
Is that the one that's a fireman now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he'll throw you off. Poof. Oh, God. Yeah, well, it's not like it was here 2 years ago. We had, 24 inches of snow in less than a day. That was crazy. 7-foot drifts at my back door. I'm like, how the heck am I going to let the dogs out?
So far, just chimed in and so did Frank. Hello, ladies.
Hey.
I just want to say, hey, I will have you on the phone, but I'm going to put me on mute. So if you want me to chime in, just say pray and take myself off of mute.
All right. Did you get that number out of the chat?
I have a number, and you also had put it out on the regular one.
Okay.
Put that on gold.
Okay.
What I'll do is I will see how manageable these dogs are.
Okay.
I can't leave them in the house with 5 cats. That's not a good thing.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah. But,
hey, Tim.
I'm just going to put it on mute so I can listen.
Okay.
Hi, Eunice. Hi, Fran. Fran P says hi.
Hey. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine.
Better. Better.
Good.
Yeah. Talking about snow,
uh-huh.
My husband opened the door Saturday morning, and it was, he had to kick it out to get out before he could shovel. In Worcester.
In Florida?
No, in Worcester, Mass.
He's up in Worcester?
Yes.
You guys take summer vacations?
Of course we do. I've told you this before.
He likes the heat, he likes the cold.
But the sad thing is, my son's, Alaskan Husky
uh-huh.
got killed Friday night.
Wow.
He was 13 years old, and he was beautiful. He got loose. My son went out to get him, and he was gone. He went out to get him before the storm really started hitting, and
yeah.
the dog was gone, and he went down the hill and found him in the middle of the street, and the guy that hit him was a plow, and he only lived for about 15 minutes, and
wow.
My son said he just kept saying to him, go ahead, Dakota. His name was Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go now, Dakota, you know.
Yeah.
So that was a very sad, sad thing, you know. So, but I got to tell you about my little I don't know how you would put it. I'm going to a friend's house in my car on one of the main drags here in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, well, I seen this car behind me, all right? And it was like really almost touching my ass in my car. So all of a sudden, I see these lights turn on, you know? And the car slammed behind me, and I slammed the brakes on, and they're yelling, get out of the van. Well, there was a van in front of me, right?
Uh-huh.
And I look out my side, the driver's side, and there's a woman with her arms stretched out with a gun in her hand. Now I'm almost pissing my pants. And she looks at me and she just nods her head, you know?
Uh-huh.
They got a guy out of the van in front of me, and there had to be four or five unmarked cars with all these sheriffs or whatever you want to call them in the marked cars out with their arms stretched straight out with the guns, you know, at them. I'm saying, oh, my God. Thank God I had a pad. Thank God, because I've had the coughing, so I have a pad I have on my seat. Thank God, because I pissed my pants.
Well,
I mean, you got to picture this. I'm looking out my driver's window, and there's a woman with a gun, not pointing at me, but pointed in front of me, you know. And there was no way. I was in their way. I didn't know I was in their way. So finally, after they get him handcuffed and everything, and they got the dogs going through the van, and they pulled somebody out on the other side. She kind of backed her car, and she come to the window. She says, "You okay?" I says, "No." I says, "You just made me piss my pants." She says, "I'm sorry, but you were in the way." I says, "How did I know I was in the way?" Because we both, Van and I, turned, you know, at the same, you know, more or less at the same time. He turned and then I turned, you know.
Right.
But that was my exciting experience.
Hmm.
So I had to go home and I had to change. Because I literally pissed my pants.
Wow.
I never, ever had anybody standing beside my window with their arms outstretched with a big gun in it, you know. Oh, God. I guess I'm in the wrong places at the right time or the right places at the wrong time. I don't know. How would you say it?
Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Just really unbelievable. And I'm sorry.
I've had a gun pulled on me, but I didn't piss myself.
Wow, I'm a little bit older than you are. You know.
Yeah, but still.
Tuesday night I slept right through the program. And when I woke up, it was like 11:15.
Wow.
I'm sorry about that. I know you missed me tremendously.
Hey, you know, Hermes was back yesterday.
Oh, was he back on?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
He was?
Yeah, he was on he did a short one.
A short one? What did he say?
He was talking about the Pope.
Oh, he was?
Oh, yeah. Talked about the two lawyers in Boston, everything.
Oh. And it was a short one?
Hour and a half. Hour and a half.
Oh, an hour and a half, yeah. Well, you know, I've called him several times, Philip, and he hasn't returned my phone calls. I don't understand.
Oh, because he just had that other surgery, and now he's up and running.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The surgery.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'll have to call him. I have to give him a call.
Yeah. But,
well, I'm glad to hear that he's back in the groove again.
Yeah.
You know. So that's good.
Hold on one second.
All right.
Is this Bill's roving reporter?
Yes, it is. How you doing, Phil?
Good. He's he's having a hard time talking. Nora jinxed him, and he didn't get the flu shot, and he ended up catching the flu.
Oh,
so
God.
He can barely
God.
Talk.
Well, that sucks, but that's life, isn't it?
He said he'll be back next week.
All right, well, I got some stuff I can report on if you'd like.
Absolutely, go for it.
All right, well, let's see. We got a poker run with the Pioneers Motorcycle Club here in the North County of San Diego is doing. It's a Luck of the Irish. It's called the Irish Blood American Heart. It's registration opens at 9 a.m. Kickstands up at 10 o'clock. It's $15 per bike, $20 per couple, Saturday, March 16th.
Where are they taking off from?
They're taking off from Biggs Harley-Davidson.
And they're going to?
I believe they're coming back to Biggs also, if what I'm reading right. So they don't have the run posted on where all it's going. But
I think one of the stops is going to be Bill's, because he was talking about all this time he's Irish and never had a St. Paddy's Day run, and I guess he's one of the stops.
All right, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I believe they're starting at Biggs and probably ending there as well. The next one I have is a Tattoo Betties and Bikes contest. Local judges will crown the winner for the best Tattoo Betty, and the audience will vote for the best bike winner. A sick-ass
cool.
trophy awarded it at Biggs Harley-Davidson. This is on Saturday, March 30th at noon to 3 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Okay. One of the other ones that I have here, let me dig it up here, is the Biggs Breakfast Crew Ride. That's a $75 guaranteed prize winner, free burgers and hot dogs, live band, registration is at 9 a.m. They leave at 10 a.m. That's on February 16th. Let me see. It's I guess they do this once in a while. I'm not sure how often. And then there's a demo day plus, also at Biggs. Sign up between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Sign up for your personal time slot to ride a 2013 Harley-Davidson jumpstart or your first riding experience. It's on Saturday, February 23rd from 11 to 3 p.m. also. They also are doing a swap meet the first Saturday of every month from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Biggs also. Some of the other things I have something from the Violators, I believe it is.
Right.
It's their annual, it's actually becoming an annual, here it is. Violators MC, it's their fourth annual spring party, Saturday, March 23rd, 11 a.m. to whenever. It's a $10 donation, usual biker fund. It's at the Flynn, which is at 15505 Old Highway 80 in El Cajon, San Diego.
Right.
Proceeds benefit the homeless, veterans, and disadvantaged youths. And they will also be talking, and bikers' rights will also be discussed at this event. And I also have something on the Royal Aces MC of San Diego. They're doing an annual picnic. They're at, let me see, Dennis V. Allen Park, 600 Gateway Center Way, San Diego, California. The date is February 16th, 2013, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Contact 12 Gauge for booth reservations. So I believe they will have food vendors and raffles. And that number is 858-668-8390. And the last one I have, but not the least one, is it's a May ride. Saturday, May 18th, 2013, is the 11th annual. It's a Biggs Harley-Davidson, all bikes welcome, benefiting our men and women in uniform through Homefront San Diego. It's their May ride, and that looks like it's going to be a pretty good one also. And also, one last one is the Rough Riders are doing their annual Purple Heart ride, which it's actually a Purple Heart poker walk up at Rainbow Oaks Restaurant right there at the county line of San Diego County and Riverside County on June 22nd. The buy-in is $15 per person, and all the money, well, there'll be raffles, vendors, as well as a 50-50 drawing, and all the proceeds of that go to the Veterans Service Center of San Diego. And
okay.
That starts, I believe, at 10 o'clock, 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. I'll get more details on that later.
Okay, and if you would, leave me a copy of all this at Bill's. And,
sure.
I didn't know if you got the flyer on the Barry and Carol Sandburg Memorial Ride.
No, I did not.
Okay. I'll make sure you get one of those. But that's going to be Sunday, May 5th.
Okay.
And it's going to tell you, it's going to be a Bait 6, local, or yeah, Bait 6, and then the Mayor Filner from San Diego, they're going to meet at Mount Soledad and then ride to Flint Springs.
Okay.
So they're going to meet at noon at Kate Sessions Park in PB, or you can be at Mount Soledad at 1, and then the Memorial ride to Flint Springs for the celebration.
All right.
Anybody who doesn't know is these two people were murdered in their home, and one of the bikes was taken, and it's still unsolved.
Wow, that's
yeah.
Rough on the family. That's got to be rough on the family.
Yep.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, so I'll make sure you get one of those flyers, and then if you drop all that stuff off at Bill's for me.
Sure.
And then once you do that, I'll post them. So far, for the last week and a half, we've been anywhere from 95 to 100,000 hits a day on the blog.
Oh, good. I'm glad to
hear
that.
Me too. The only thing is, if I was getting a dime from everybody that checked it out, I wouldn't be working.
Do you guys have a donate button on the website?
No, because if we take that, then we can't do the show the way we want.
Oh, okay.
You know, Bill kind of goes off on his political things, and that's how we got knocked off the air last time.
Oh, okay. All right.
He never told you that?
No, actually, no. I didn't realize, but, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean, if you want to be able to keep your freedom of speech, I guess you got to keep everybody's hands out of your pockets or your pockets out of everybody else's hands so you don't owe anybody anything. I get that.
Well, North Korea, Kim Jong-un decided that everybody to have hair no longer than an inch and a quarter. And if they were bald, they could do an inch and three-quarter comb over. So Bill comes in to do the show. He sits down, and he gets prodded with that, and he grabs the mic, and he says, I want all my Korean brothers and sisters to meet me at LAX. We're going to fly to South Korea. We're going to cross the 38th parallel. We're going to go town by town, street by street, house by house, until we ask Kim Jong-un. And that was Tuesday. Thursday, you guys, the services are no longer required here. There's the door.
Wow. Freaking Bill.
Yep.
All right, that's classic.
Story.
All right, well, tell the old man I said hi, and I hope he feels better.
Okay, I will.
All right, Phil.
Take care.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, all three of you are unmuted.
Oh, thank you.
Good. You didn't want to hear what I was saying while I was on hold.
That's okay. Fran said sorry.
I still got this fucking cough in plain English.
Yeah.
And it gets worse at nighttime, you know? During the daytime, I don't have nothing. And then at nighttime, it gets worse.
Well, that's because you're sitting down relaxing.
Yeah, that's probably the truth. So.
Hey, I'm not just a good-looking guy. I'm smart, too.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay.
I know that. I know that. Well, guys, I'm not going to stay on long if you don't mind. I have a few personal things I've got to take care of, and I haven't really talked to my husband tonight.
Well, that's
my happy Valentine. Oh, happy Valentine's Day, girls.
Happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's.
You too.
Before you hang up, though, if you can go to a health food store.
Yes.
And
there is a product, and I don't know the name of the product, but it's a liquid, and it's Lobelia skunk cabbage.
Okay.
This stuff is nasty as hell.
Right.
It says to put 20 drops in a box, in a glass of water and drink it. Honey, don't bother. Do what I do, and what I do is I take half a dropper and I drop in the back of the throat and swallow it quickly, and you'll shake your head several times.
Oh, okay.
It's that nasty.
Thanks for telling me that. It works. Okay,
it works.
I'll try it. I will really try it.
The product is Lobelia skunk cabbage.
Yeah. Oh, God. This is, you know, I feel so good during the daytime, and then when it comes at nighttime, it just blows me away, you know.
Now, there's a second thing, which is they have what's called Breathe Easy Tea. There's two of them. There's two different brands that put it out, and one has caffeine in it. The other one does not. And I generally put one tea bag, drink it full strength, and then I just keep adding water until it becomes like three cups later.
Yeah.
And then what that ends up being is a flush.
All right. I'll try
okay.
both. I'll try
Don't
both.
Don't they call
Thank
that a
you.
Douche nowadays?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. From the mug.
Whatever works.
Why do you keep bringing that up? Really?
Because I think he's trying to tell us girls need a douche in the mouth. Because we speak dirty.
You know that cotton you put in your ear, sometimes you need to put it in your mouth.
Okay. Nah. Good night.
Then there'd be no pleasure.
I'll talk to you guys Tuesday.
All right.
Okay.
Good night. Yeah.
Happy
bye-bye.
Valentine's, sweetheart. Take care.
You too. Yep. Bye-bye.
Hey, is that you, Pete?
Oh, wait until you see what I put on your wall.
Hey, you, Pete?
Yes.
What's up, man?
No, I got on. I finally got through on the phone. I called earlier, and I couldn't get. It just went dead, and then it came. As soon as your show came up on my computer screen, and I heard the music, my Facebook crashed, and then I was listening to you online, and then I said, oh, I'll call in for a few minutes. I just called in twice, and I heard Fran, and then I got cut off. But I was still on the line, and then I heard nothing. But obviously, I finally got through. I don't know.
Yeah, they're,
I think it's true that they fuck with different people on the Blog Talk Radio, you know. And, like, I do free speech TV here with Gino. We can do anything and say anything we want. Anybody that's seen the show, we do some crazy shit on there. We try not to use too much profanity or, you know, do too many crazy things. But Blog Talk Radio is the same way. I mean, but it's just too strange that some of these shows, like your show, Hermes, Hank, always has problems like this, man, where, the, you know, because they have the master controls, you know, at Blog Talk. They just, right now, they could just cut you off, you know, and it's just, you're paying for a service and what you're getting bullshit in return. What do they want you to talk about? Puppy dogs and pigtails, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I get this phone call the other day. I actually got it three times, right? Not to change the subject, but I guess I will because it's fun. It has to do with the feds. And it comes across, it says Washington on my phone. I have a new home phone number, and you'll see it there on your screen. So that's my new home phone number. And I'm like, I know people from Washington, but they don't have my new phone number yet, you know? So who the hell is this? So I picked the phone up. I'm sure all the people have gotten the call. I picked the phone up. I'm like, hello? And they're like, this is the FBI. I thought it was something against me, you know? This is the FBI. I said, go fuck yourself, right? I guess I should wash my mouth. Go F yourself, you know? It was a recording, and I thought it was, you know, it was legitimate. It was a call from Washington, from the FBI office, some from the FBI office in Washington, but it was about home break-ins in my area. And it had me fooled there, you know? I said, son of a bitch, Washington, FBI, you know? It's like, I mind my business. I've done things in the past. We all know that. But, you know, here they are calling me on my new phone number that nobody has. So I just thought I'd share that with you. It was pretty funny. But it was recording. It was a woman's voice, but she was all professional. This is the FBI. I'm like, go fuck yourself, because we know what FBI stands for. It stands for fucking ball-busting idiots, you know? Anyway, that was the excitement for my week. Other than that, I've been sick myself, and my brother is away. He's in a psychiatric hospital. He wasn't doing too good, so. You know, other than that, you know, we did get almost 3 feet of snow here. And, man, I'll tell you, every day I think about more and more about moving to California. You know, I know.
Move in with Phil.
Seriously, I know a lot of people from California, from different parts of California. And, you know, they tell me the weather is great here and it's the perfect temperature and all this. And I'm like, you know, man, I can't take it here anymore. You know, I can't. It's too much. My mother's here, though, you know, and I can't leave my mother, you know. But she told me to go for it. You know, I'll just fly back and visit her, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to go to Florida because we know who dominates the motorcycle clubs down there, and I can't deal with those idiots, you know.
Right.
I don't want to go south, you know. bunch of shitheads down there. We'll just leave it at that. I want to go west, I think.
Yeah.
Chicago's nice, though. But expensive.
Yes, it is.
Florida. Chicago is very expensive to live in Chicago. It's very expensive.
No,
but you have a good part of Chicago.
No,
I've been in a good suburb,
you know.
I mean, you can live in a shithole or any big city, but a good part of Chicago is very expensive to live in.
It depends on where you're at.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's what's going on, and I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Facebook now. It's like my page is running in reverse. You know. I'm getting sick of depending on the internet. Yeah, I went out and bought a brand new Hewlett Packard computer. I got the nice flat screen, you know, flat screen monitor, the nice wireless mouse. I got a surround sound that would blast out a Coliseum. I got high speed internet, and I still have effing problems every time I go on. So it's like, you know, I'm just gonna pop a movie in tonight. I got Taco Bell. I'm going to eat my Taco Bell and watch a movie and not go online, you know? Screw it. Like, I'm just going to go back to calling people. I'm not even going to go online anymore, man. You know, I'm just going to call people when I need to. I can't depend on the internet anymore, man. It's getting worse. You know why it is? Because there's billions of users on Facebook and on the internet. And that's why it crashes a lot. There's too many people on there.
Yeah.
You know, and I have Verizon for my internet carrier, and I go through a phone line, which it's DSL, it's high speed, but I still go through a phone line, and so do like 10 billion other people. So my connection's not as good as it used to be. Anyway.
Well, hey, before you go, I want you to listen to something. I played this the other night. I just got it.
All right.
But this is called The Next Generation of Surveillance. Okay.
All right.
That's what got us in.
Hey, let me play this right.
This is the next generation of surveillance. For the first time, we actually have permission from the government to show the basic capabilities. It is important for the public to know that some of these capabilities exist.
Engineer Yanis Antoniadis designed the new sensor known as Argus. With 1.8 billion pixels, it's the world's highest resolution camera. Argus fits inside this pod that attaches to the belly of a UAV. But because much of the work is classified, we can't see the sensor itself.
Because we are not allowed to expose some of the pieces that make up the sensor itself, you get to look at pretty plastic curtains.
Also known as wide area persistent stare, Argus is the equivalent of having up to 100 predators look at an area the size of a medium-sized city at once. This image was taken 17,500 feet above Quantico, Virginia, and covers 15 square miles.
This whole image is at a very, very fine resolution. So if we wanted to know what is going on in any spot along this image, say near this building at this intersection, we can generate a moving image that shows what's going on in the area.
Simply by touching the screen, Antoniadis has opened up a window showing a detailed area, while still maintaining the broader context.
And everything that is a moving object is being automatically tracked. The color boxes represent that the computer has recognized the moving objects. You can see individuals crossing the street. You can see individuals walking in parking lots. There's actually enough resolution to be able to see the people waving their arms or walking around, what kind of clothes they wear. And you could pick the location of where you produce these images anywhere in the entire field of view.
Antoniadis can open up to 65 windows at once and can see objects as small as 6 inches on the ground.
From even 17,500 feet, the white thing that you see flying around is a bird.
Argus streams live to the ground and also stores everything, 1 million terabytes of video a day, which is the equivalent of 5,000 hours of high-definition footage.
So you can go back and say, I would like to see what happened at this particular location 3 days, 2 hours, 4 minutes ago, and it would actually show you exactly what happened as if you were watching it live.
To create the world's highest-definition camera, Antoniadis needed to design a new imaging chip. But DARPA, the project's funder, wanted to move fast and keep costs down. So he borrowed technology that most people have in their pockets.
Inside this cell phone, we find a tiny little camera. So if you were to take off the majority of it, you'd be left with an imaging chip. If you were to take 368 of these and make a big mosaic out of them and start shooting images, now you have Argus.
Unlike the Predator camera that limits field of view, Argus melds together video from each of its 368 chips to create a 1.8 billion pixel video stream. This makes it possible to zoom in and still see tremendous detail. Whether Argus has been deployed in the field is classified.
I'm not at liberty to discuss plans with the government, but if we had our choice, we would like Argus to be over the same area 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's not very easily achievable with manned platforms. This is where UAVs come in, and they're absolutely the perfect platform.
Argus may be mounted on an armed UAV like the Predator, a long-range platform like the giant Global Hawk, or a development craft called the Solar Eagle that may someday stay aloft for years at a time.
The U.S. Air Force right now has the ability to archive every single video that comes off of every single UAV. We're moving to an increasingly electronic society where our movements are going to be tracked.
Believe that shit?
Well, first of all, the guy that was talking sounded like Gandhi. Right? But here's this. That was good. Where'd you get that from?
I can send it to you.
Yeah, send it to me, please. You know what that reminds me of? There's a movie called Deja Vu with Denzel Washington. You ever see it?
Yeah.
Right, it's very similar to that, you know, and what they're doing is they're spying on people, and then, you know, I mean, they get satellites that can shoot through houses and watch you take a piss and record it, you know?
But yeah, they don't need any court papers to watch it.
No, you're right, no. That's interesting, because when I saw that movie, it's old. It's an older movie. I said, they're already doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's wrong, you know. I could go all night on that subject, but I'll call in Tuesday night and we'll talk about it. Anyway, you guys have a good night. I got to go eat and watch my movie. Nora,
all
I'll
right.
talk to you soon. Phil, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Respect
Take
you
care.
Guys. And send me that, Phil, if you could, if you want to send it to me privately or however you want to send it, a chat room or whatever you know, I want to check that out. Listen to that again.
Yeah, just in case, send me an email.
All right, I'll do that, man.
All right.
Take care. Have a good night, guys.
Okay, you
Bye.
Too.
Thanks. Bye.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, oh, God, it happened again. We went silent. You know, I wish you'd quit telling everybody it was my fault that Bill is sick. They should
What's
have done
fault?
This stuff in the hospital. No, they should have done this stuff in the hospital.
No. They didn't do it. They weren't going to do it because his immune system was all screwed up.
Oh, yeah. That's right, because the infection. Oh. Okay. But it's still not my fault. Do you know how many people I say not to get a flu shot, and they go and get one, and they get the flu, and I said, see, why did you get the flu shot? And then the ones that don't listen, they don't get the flu. It was a fluke. He was sick before I even said that, so don't even go there. You know how many things you guys touch? You know, he has a shot. People come in, they sneeze and cough in their hands, and then they sit there and touch everything. And then he has to go and move something or whatever, and guess what? The germs are in him, and then he puts it to his face.
And?
That's how germs pass.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to tell you on that one. All I know is he got sick right after you told him, don't get the flu shot.
Oh, that is a coincidence. It's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Hey, if somebody needs to take the blame for it, fine. I'll take the blame for it. I don't care.
All right.
If it makes everybody feel better, yes, it's my fault because I told them not to get the flu shot. I find the flu shot ridiculous to get if it's not for the strain that is required at that season.
Fran, you're unmuted.
Well, I unmuted myself. I keep it on mute so that I don't interrupt the show. When you're talking about the flu shot, I'm one of those individuals that I've almost died twice from that flu, from any of the flus that are out there. So when there's that flu shot, I say, here's the arm, you better get it. However, there was one that I did not want the flu shot, and that was a couple years back, was the swine flu. You might ask why. That was a man-made flu. They didn't expect it to go as viral as it had. And then when it did go so viral, they didn't actually have the counteract dose or doses to actually stop that flu. Now, for all of those people out there that keep using that sanitizer, tell you what, you might as well stop, because the new report now is people have used that sanitizer stuff so much, and they have used it on so many things that the germs have now gone airborne. So you're using a product that is not doing you any good. And I always have to laugh because I see people at the school and they're putting the sanitizer on this, that, they're wiping down the table, they're wiping the keyboard, and they're all sharing the same pen when they sign in.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know where people are going with this stuff, but I don't use the sanitizer because I remember a couple years back asking the pharmacist, and the pharmacist told me about 5 years ago, he said, look, if you use the sanitizer more than five times a day, after five times a day, it's no longer effective. And, oh, lo and behold, that has now become the norm. So let's put some more chemicals on ourselves, and we might survive this. And I will go back 35 years ago in New York. There was a soap that was called PS333. This soap was so wonderful. It took all the bacteria off your skin, and people were getting violently sick. So they took it off the market. What a number of people have failed to also realize is you need to have bacteria in order to fight bacteria.
Right.
So, you know, that's why we used to let the kids play with dogs. And that's another thing that they're coming out with. Guess what? Get the dogs and cats back in the house. Because as the kids grow older, their immune system builds because they have the cat and the dog to start building the immune system.
Right.
I mean, we've done this for years. And I'll give you a trivia. A trivia was, do you know why people always had dogs?
What?
when they would go away, what was the first thing that would go into the house when they got back from vacation? It was the dog. The dog was sent in first to gather up the fleas so that the people didn't get bit. So that's right. Your trivia for the night.
All right.
But now I do have another question.
Right.
At what point, and this doesn't necessarily have to be with motorcycles. This could be anything, okay? At what point should a person step down from holding an office, whether it's a, like I say, motorcycle or church group or whatever it is, at what point should a person actually step down, or at what point should people not vote for somebody when they realize that the person is doing more harm than good in an organization?
Yeah, that brings a few to mind. But the names were changed to protect the innocent and the guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've encountered some of that with a couple groups right now. And I found it interesting and amazing that a number of people thought that John was the originator of a lot of the safety stuff. Someone just kicked me in the ass with it by calling somebody else, and it was like, now you really think that I'm that stupid? You think that someone is like, where are your brains, people? Can't you add, two and three make five? Or was that two and two make five? I don't remember. But we are getting to the point where maybe we're hurting ourselves primarily because we keep voting in old hats.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes new blood must take over by force, if need be, so that there is change.
Well, that's coming.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Got all kinds of shit going on this guy's doing. First, he's going to take your guns.
Well, this is actually a motorcycle, but...
No, I know. But I'm just telling you. It's all coming full circle.
Well, like I say, it's disappointing when, because there's such an allegiance that instead of being an individual of who they are, they vote allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, that's all fine and good up to a point, and the point is right now, it's hurting. It is not helping to advance.
Well, They're not.
I thought I'd drop that in.
No, I hear you. It's going to be crazy shit.
The piece that on that Dorian Carroll.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I actually came across people that were not in the biking community that actually knew the couple.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing if people take the time, and it doesn't necessarily have to be like Barry and Carol, but oftentimes if there's something that is going on or has happened in one's community, sometimes just talking about it just in general, maybe that you can find out or pick up from people around without them realizing that they gave you the information.
Oh, I know. It happens all the time.
I found out that the brutality that was done in the house, even after cleaning the house, it was actually not presentable to show to any of the family members. So, I mean, these people who actually killed this couple, we really do need to find them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen, because it's basically like now it's been the best kept secret.
Everything's a secret.
I know.
Most crooks like to brag. The best criminal is one that commits an act and is able to keep their mouth shut and not tell a soul, which is there. And that's like, you know how they usually catch most criminals the second time? It's because they do something stupid while driving. Like one of the cops.
Yep.
That's how they get re-caught.
I had a guy pull me over the other day, and he said he pulled me over because I didn't use my turn signal.
What?
And I asked him if I was being detained, and he said no, and I drove away.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's funny. Oh.
Unbelievable.
He followed me all the way to Tamarack.
Oh, God, don't they have anything better to do?
Well, there's a little more history behind it, but I can't talk about that.
No, that's fine. I understand.
That's like my son. Hicksville police, they, at one point, they no longer chased the car. They just went to the house and waited for him to come home.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was safer.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, it runs in the family.
I can tell you one part. The guy walked up to the window and he started calling me my son's name, and I said, it's not him. Well, who is it? This is his dad. That's when I asked him, am I being detained? And he goes, no. So I put it in drive and drove away.
Well, you can't get in trouble for that. You're not being detained.
Huh?
I say you're not being detained, so you can't be in trouble for leaving.
No. That's why I asked him, am I being detained? And he said, no. Drove away.
I have to ask, did you have your tape recorder on as well?
No.
Yeah, okay.
No, I didn't think anything was going to happen. I was going to work.
Well, just as long as you had that tape recorder going.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't have it with me. I didn't think I needed it in the car.
They can see you and smell you when you go by. And they just take any opportunity to say good morning to you. Now, did they give you a cup of coffee and a donut to go with that?
I was just going to ask that. Oh, God. See? They're being a little rude. They should offer you some breakfast, at least.
Well, you know how they are.
Yeah. Just because they had theirs doesn't mean you had yours.
No. Yeah. Right now we're at 99,886.
Wow.
Just for today.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
At 2 o'clock, we had 16,635 people at 2 o'clock.
Right. Wow.
Right now we got 1,444.
One of the things that people fail to realize is they say, well, I don't have a lot of money to do that. Even if a person gave $1 or $5 for every person that does $5, it adds up quickly. Because
yeah.
It's not just one person. I don't know why people think, oh, well, I got to do 25. I got to do 100. No, you don't. $5
right.
And it will get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So what do you think about that splitting lanes? Fran? Fran?
Thank you, Lester.
You just want to make out what you said.
I said, what do you think about the CHP with their guidelines for splitting lanes? Now they say they're going to prosecute the ones that try and cut you off when you're splitting lanes.
The problem is that there were actually no guidelines and it was illegal. With putting some guidelines, now it actually makes it a legal venue. So therefore, if someone opens their car door, or if someone decides to throw coffee at you, which I've had my share of a few of those things, it becomes an event that can now be prosecuted.
Right.
Whereas prior to that, you couldn't prosecute it. So I have mixed feelings, but at the same time, because I had brought it up at the bait meeting, only because there's risk takers, and then there's just some really stupid people.
yeah.
And I had said, about risk takers and Harleys, and I got jumped on saying, well, no, those are the sport bike riders. As far as I see, when I see someone being stupid, it's not just a Ninja. It's not just a Honda. It's all bikes. And people are forgetting that all bikes are doing this, including Harleys. So at least now, there is a law that is there. We are the only state that permits it. New York used to, until Long Island, because bikers used to do it going out to the beach, and a biker had gotten killed. And so then they passed a law that it was illegal to lane split, lane, whatever you want to call it, white lining. And so after that, that made it illegal from that point on because of, the biker getting killed from doing that going to Jones Beach. But at this point, we are the only state that permits it. So it would be nice to see other states get on board. And I won't lie. I mean, when traffic is at a dead stop, I white line every time I can, every chance I get, if it's a dead stop. But I'll tell you what, it's getting tougher because, if you haven't worn a cup of coffee, at least most times it's lukewarm by the time it hits you.
Yeah.
The cigarette butt, now that has I've only had a cigarette burn in my shirt only one or two times now out of all the years, so I guess I'm better than most. And I remember a person trying to squeeze and hit me and yelling at me that it's illegal, and after I actually left, I came up with the most perfect phrase, And I should have looked at the young lady that was sitting next to him and said, you know, this is who you're getting involved with. If you think that his act is idiotic or stupid, then that is what you're getting involved with. That is what you're going to marry if you stay with this guy. And he'll be that way just to you, as he just did with traffic. I used to tell my kids in driver's ed, if you see, and it was basically for the ladies, of course, but if you're dating somebody and they're really nice to you, but then you see that same nice little cute gentleman that you're dating and he's driving and he's by himself, is he courteous to people around him on the freeway, or is he being quick and cutting people off and what have you? If he is quick and cutting people off, then that eventually is how he will treat you. And that's been proven. When we had the fires, when people were so angry because they couldn't fight the fire. So what ended up happening is they became angry and vicious on the freeways because they wanted to vent. They wanted to get it out of their system. Unfortunately, we really didn't need that behavior out on the freeway. But that's where most people will go take it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can, or they think they can until they kill somebody. And this is aggression. This is the anger.
Mm-hmm.
You can spot somebody who drives really bad. And if you are actually around that person, you'll see that that's part of their personality. And that will eventually affect anyone around them.
True.
And it's going to be interesting to see if Motorcycle Awareness Month or week, whatever, if we get our look twice for bikes out on that road sign. I know that a couple people actually had to fight to get the DOT to put that sign up, because now that John is dead, they figured that they can let the sign die too.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's some people out there that are going to stay on top of Highway Patrol and them to ensure that that sign goes up on Motorcycle Awareness, which is in May.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, are you going to be at that event this Saturday?
I'm not sure. I got like four things going on, and with Bill being sick, it's just expanded.
Well, that's so typical you.
Mm.
It was always point me in the right direction. If I show up, then guess what? It must have been that I was supposed to be there.
Yeah. Well, I just got the 90-second thing, and I heard this song today, and it stuck in my head all day. I'm going to take us out with a little golden earring, but talk to you guys Tuesday. And depending on what goes on, I'll let you know if I go over there Saturday.
Okay. Now, do you need the contact number for that variant peril?
I'm sorry?
Do you need the information for contact for Barry and Carol?
No, I got all that. Red sent it to me.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
I just checking.
Okay.
All right.
This one's by Golden Earring. It's called Red Our Love. Talk to you guys later.